Reinforcements are being sent to Fenway Park as the trade deadline came and passed yesterday, with the Red Sox kind of restocking the cupboard a little bit. Luis Garcia is coming in from the Angels. That was an exchange of four minor leaguers in that deal. Lucas Sims is coming in from Cincinnati. You got Danny Jansen in, who basically replaced Reese McGuire. So if you look at it, just a backup catching upgrade and another right-handed bat. And then the young guy, Quinn Priester, has already been sent down to Worcester. So now, where do we go from here? Now, where do we go from here? Do things like Tristan Casas coming back and his performance matter? Have we now shifted from the young guys like Rafaela and Casas and these guys taking the next step to, all right, focus on the team and winning for 2 months?
No, yeah, that's it. Because usually I hate the trade deadline. I hate talking about it 5 weeks before it even happens. You know, and should you spend, should you sell? Like, it just drives me nuts. This one actually was like, from as far as I can remember, I don't know, you tell me, like the most, I feel like this is the most movement they've had in a long time as far as prospects giving up, bodies coming in. Like, they added a lot of people.
Well, considering the last two have been flops, they were due.
Yeah, but I mean,
I use the Fourier-Campbell theory. They
yeah,
were due.
Yeah, Bressel had something to do with it. And that's not the way that works all the time. But I'll allow it. I feel like it's appropriate.
As long as I'm using your theory, even if I'm mocking, you'll still accept it because it means I've accepted it.
I even love the whole idea of, like, the whole, like, you know, last-minute trade coming in with Garcia, like, at 5:55.
No, that means you're winning a trade battle. Yeah, that I think that is a check mark or – yeah, like in football, we give plus minus.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I get the double plus.
Yeah.
I kind of give Breslow the double plus on that.
Really?
One. Well, because.
Oh, on the Garcia one?
Oh, yeah,
last
because,
minute?
Because you got the player, you got him last. Like, it wasn't one of those, well, we were in on another reliever, but it just got too uncomfortable for us. No, the guy found a way to get it done. And listen, maybe one of these prospects that they gave up is going to turn into Mike Trout 2.0. I have no idea. But right now, when we look at any of the names that were given up for this guy, no one knows.
Okay, so using that metric,
Keith Law.
Using that grading metric, okay, overall, though, because all I'm seeing right now is, you know, top 10 winners in the trade deadline, top 10 losers in the trade deadline, you know, and the Red Sox are involved in all the top 10. Actually, Major League Baseball had a top 11, which I thought was weird. They just had an extra team.
Did they really?
It was top 11. Yeah, it was weird.
Well, they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
They don't want to leave anybody out.
That's right.
Funny. So, but, you know, just make it 11 this one time. Football grading scale, people, all the construction workers out there, you know, I'm sorry again, once again, eat your cheese sandwich.
Hey, listen, it rained out there. It's a rough day for the construction guys.
Zero is doing
nothing.
What you're zero is doing what you're supposed to do.
Zero is Heimblum.
Yeah, well, zero is like, hey, I told you to block the end. You block the end.
Oh, I got
you. Okay. Minus is obviously double minus, plus and plus plus. You called this an attaboy.
Oh, it was an attaboy.
So the Garcia trade was a plus plus, but overall
a plus. They
oh,
yeah.
Really?
No,
I was going to give him a zero.
Listen, this was one of these deals where I had low expectations. And the Jansen trade fooled me a little bit. It was like, wait, that's your right-handed bat? No, it was really more a backup catcher upgrade, which I don't mind. Incrementally improving the team a little bit. Those are the little steals that you can make if you're a general manager. I don't mind that at all. And now the flop of first rounders with the Pirates and stuff like that. Okay, fine. I give you a guy you want to take a chance on. I'll bring in a guy I want to take a chance on.
So
and then these relievers are kind of what the doctor ordered. Now they all got to go out and produce.
The most important audio you will hear anywhere today.
Wow.
Anywhere. Okay, because no one's going to spin it and explain it like we will. Because we speak Cora.
Okay, I like this.
We do. And I think this is the sneakiest, best kind of line of the entire trade deadline, you know, at the marker or whatever at the end. Was his, this is before the game, right, Nick? Before they
post
played.
Game.
Oh, this is post game. Now everything's been done. Mm-hmm. All the trades have been made. They just got they were getting booed last night at Fenway Park after they was like they lose what 10-3 or something. Here's what Cora said about the trade deadline, the players acquired, and how he views everything that happened.
I feel really good. I think the bullpen is going to be in a good place. Obviously, waiting for guys to get healthy. Two good arms, obviously different, hard throwing sinker bowler. The other one cuts the ball and sweeps it, you know, on Lucas. And when healthy, you know, and obviously we have to be patient. But where we at right now, I feel comfortable that, you know, we can show up tomorrow and over the weekend and in Kansas City and have the right guys, you know, for certain spots. And obviously when Marty and Slade come back, you know, we're going to be a lot better.
So I feel really good. I feel comfortable. We have the right guys. Last year, you were not hearing this from Cora. Last year, they were creating gimmicks, to your point. This is a gimmick-free trade deadline. I don't have to invent any kooky little phrase. We don't have to do something stupid when we get on second base. We all don't have to say have the same like sign language to, you know, oh, we're mad at our boss for not believing in us, right? He created this attitude because they didn't do anything.
It's the anti, no one is coming to save us. No, there are some people coming to help us try to save us.
Wait, listen, guys, listen, don't sulk. Don't feel bad. Don't hold a grudge against me. We're in this together. You guys did exactly what I asked you to do. There's an obvious need. Bullpen's getting killed. Like we're kind of scuffling a little bit in the month of July. Let me reinforce you a little bit just so you have the pieces. That's what he says. We have the right guys. He's basically talking about, I have the pieces now, especially when Slayton gets back and Martin gets back, like where I can manipulate the lineup. I can do this. I can do that. You know, I have all the necessary tools, not high-end stuff.
He has enough.
I get the job done.
You know what it is? He has enough depth to be able to manage the situation and to get them through the rest of the season. Now, whether that turns into them getting the final wild card spot, that does remain to be seen. But if there is one thing that I think we can say about Alex Cora, overall, I think he's a pretty good bullpen manager. But he needed the arms. And when they went to Colorado and Jansen went down, it was like, oh, crap. And then that one game where they got their brains beat in 20-6, where it was like, all right, we're just going to put somebody out here and let him give it up all over the yard because we just don't have the bodies. Now they got the bodies. And what might work for them, Fourier, maybe just a little bit, is the standings. Meaning right now you have the Yankees that have a 4.5 game lead in the wild card. And they're just a tick behind Baltimore for the division, right? But you have the Guardians, who lead the Central. But then right behind them, you've got Minnesota and Kansas City. They're going to beat each other up. Oh, and by the way, those teams would maybe like to get into it for the division. So they're going to play hard against Cleveland as well. So you got Minnesota and Kansas City that are fighting for a spot. They're also within the division where they're trying to catch Cleveland. And then in the West, Seattle leads the way. Houston is, it looks like, two back in the win column. So Seattle's 57-52. Houston's 55-52. But they're going to be battling for the West Division title. So you've got teams that are mindful of their division and then mindful of the wild card at the same time. The Red Sox don't have to worry about that. If they get in and in the division, then great, we'll deal with it then. But otherwise, they're 7 back in the division. They're just focusing on the wild card spot. So a lot of these teams the Red Sox are competing against have kind of dual thought processes where maybe if one of these teams think they can go in and sneak and win the division, hey, let's battle our ass off against Cleveland. Great. Red Sox are next. Burn your bullpen. You know what I mean? There's some schedule breaks they're going to catch because of the standings.
Do lines change? A gambling question for you, because you know how bad I am at this.
No.
Will the lines change as far as like, hey, I can make a bet on whether or not the Red Sox go to the playoffs now, right?
So those playoff bets are probably off the board because there's too much information. But what you could do is go to futures and sort of see where the market has changed for division or winning the American League, stuff like that.
So I can't make a bet on the Red Sox to make the postseason now. Now that I have more information, now I really believe in them.
You might be able to, but some of those markets are, I mean, we're
Would you bet on them to make the playoffs?
No. I would not.
Okay.
Because, from a betting, do I think they can get there? Absolutely. I would never bet it.
Throw money at it.
But there's no value.
Yeah.
Like you literally had to do it at the beginning of the year. But hold on, I pulled up DK real quick. Let me see. Season specials? No. You know what they do have though is league seeding.
League seeding.
Yes.
Okay.
So if you think the American League's number one seed will be the Yankees, you can get them at like +110.
So okay.
That's what we mean by it.
All right.
Hold on. Let me go to some team futures here. I got league winner, division winner. Here we go to make the playoffs. It's still up here. Good call. So let me see. I don't think the market will change that much. The Yankees to make the playoffs are -20,000.
Okay.
So you have to bet $20,000, folks, to win $100, which is wild. Red Sox to make the playoffs. No, -250. The yes is +210. That's better odds than I thought on +210. I would.
Yeah, you're thinking about it now.
I would consider it.
Okay.
$25 on them at +210 wins you $77.50. That's a minimal investment to make if you really think they are gonna get there. By the way, the Astros, because I mentioned the Astros, to make the playoffs at yes, -140. And they're behind the Red Sox in the standings and have not played great. But it's really more reflective of the betting market, not the predictive market of like people like us. But nevertheless.
But people are paying attention.
Hey, listen, I come away okay. They weren't. They were good. They weren't great, but they were good, and they were better than I expected.
Who has more buzz right now, the Red Sox or the Patriots?
Ooh. Right now,
today, not yesterday when we were knee deep in Judon.
It might be the Red Sox.
I feel like it is. Absolutely,
I do. There's, you know, why there's real hope there, and now that it's like people have gotten
it's
to camp.
The opposite.
Yeah. Well, again, now
they
people have gotten to camp and been like,
oh, geez, I came in with hope, and I'm leaving with despair and a big dose of reality.
There's a lot of that.